two staring eyes.
These are dark times, there is no denying. Our world has perhaps faced no greater threat than it does today. But I say this to our citizenry. We, ever your servants, will continue to defend your liberty and repel the forces that seek to take it from you. Your ministry remains strong.
Rufus Scrimgeour, the Minister of Magic, is photographed at a press conference. At home, Hermione reads the headlines in the Daily Prophet. Dark Mark sparks panic. Death Eater numbers grow. Violence spreads. Muggle family murdered.
Hermione, tea's ready, darling.
Coming, Mum.
Harry Potter's Uncle Vernon drags a suitcase to his car.
Come on, Dudley, hurry up.
I still don't understand why we have to leave.
Because, it's not safe for us here anymore.
Harry watches from his bedroom window. Outside the rebuilt Weasley's home, Ron stands staring over the reed beds towards the horizon. His mother and sister Ginny are busy in the kitchen.
Ron! Tell your father supper's nearly
ready. Ron glances behind him briefly, then turns back to the reed beds, at the Grangers. Hermione's parents are watching TV. She looks at them sadly, then raises her wand.
Obliviate.
The tip of her wand glows. Unnoticed by her mother and father, the images of Hermione as a baby and a young child slowly fade from view in the photographs on the mantelpiece. Hermione's eyes fill with tears. She looks around to see herself disappearing from every photograph in the room. Outside number 4 Privet Drive, Harry's Aunt Petunia sits in the car, staring blankly. Uncle Vernon looks nervously at the sky. Dudley clambers into the back seat. Harry stands alone on the path, watching them go. Standing outside her front door, Hermione looks back for a moment, then with head lowered, walks down the path and strides off along the street, her long wavy hair ruffled by a breeze. She carries a small beaded bag. Looming forward out of dark clouds, jagged metal letters form the words Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. A Death Eater, a dark, shadowy figure, zooms over the countryside towards a large manor house on a country estate, the home of the Malfoys. Descending to the ground, the Death Eater walks towards the gates. It is Severus Snape. He waves his wand, and the gates evaporate, allowing him to step through. His face is somber, his dark hair lank and shoulder length. Behind him, the gates reappear. Snape enters a bare stone room and climbs a flight of stairs. People are seated at a long table in front of a blazing fire. At the end of the table, a woman hangs horizontally in mid-air.
Severus, I was beginning to worry you had lost your way. Come, we've saved you a seat.
Snape sits close to Voldemort.
You bring news, I trust?
It will happen Saturday next, at nightfall.
I've heard differently, my lord. Dolish Theora has let slip that the Potter boy will not be moved until the 30th of this month, the day before he turns 17.
This is a false trail. The Aura office no longer plays any part in the protection of Harry Potter. Those closest to him believe we have infiltrated the Ministry.
Well, they got that right then, didn't they?
What say you, Pius?
A huge snake writhes on the floor beside Pius Thickness.
One hears many things, my lord. Whether the truth is among them is not clear.
Spoken like a true politician. You will, I think, prove most useful, Pius.
Voldemort turns back to Snape.
Where will he be taken, the boy?
To a safe house. Most likely the home of someone in the Order. I'm told it's been given every manner of protection possible. Once there, it will be impractical to attack him.
My lord, I'd like to volunteer myself for this task. I want to kill the boy.
Wormtail! Have I not spoken to you about keeping our guest quiet?
Yes, my lord. Right away, my lord.
As inspiring as I find your bloodlust, Bellatrix, I must be the one to kill Harry Potter.
She shrinks back.
But I face an unfortunate complication. That my wand and Potter's share the same core. They are, in some ways, twins. We can wound, but not fatally harm one another. If I am to kill him, I must do it with another's wand.
He passes behind the Malfoys.
Come. Surely one of you would like the honor. What about you, Lucius?
Lucius Malfoy turns.
My lord, I require your wand.
Lucius's face twitches as he reaches for his wand. His hands shake as he holds it out to Voldemort.
Do I detect elm?
Yes, my lord.
Voldemort runs his fingers over it, then snaps off its handle.
And the core?
Dragon heartstring.
Dragon heartstring.
Snape watches keenly as Voldemort discards the handle. Lucius trembles as Voldemort points the wand at the floating woman.
To those of you who do not know, we are joined tonight by Miss Charity Burbage, who until recently taught at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Her speciality was Muggle studies. It is Miss Burbage's belief that Muggles are not so different from us. She would, given her way, have us mate with them. To her, the mixture of magical and muggle blood is not an abomination, but something to be encouraged.
The woman pleads with Snape.
Severus, Severus, please. We're friends.
Snape stares coldly. Voldemort flicks the wand. She falls dead onto the table. Draco Malfoy winces. A single tear falls from Charity's eye. Voldemort strokes the snake.
Nagini. Dinner.
It glides onto the table and slithers towards the dead woman. Its tongue flickers. Its mouth opens wide. A flashback. Albus Dumbledore falls from the astronomy tower. The white-haired professor floats gently downwards. Harry sits in his room holding a shard of broken mirror. He stares pensively at his own reflection, then sees an eye that is not his own looking back at him. Hedwig is sitting patiently in her cage. Harry packs a rucksack. He takes a notebook with the letters RAB written in it, a gold locket on a chain, and a newspaper with Dumbledore's obituary by Elpheus Doge. Harry comes downstairs carrying his rucksack and Hedwig's cage. The living room is bare. He opens the door of the cupboard under the stairs and peers inside. He pulls a cord. The light in the cupboard comes on. Harry steps inside what was once his bedroom and slowly shakes his head. He spots a toy soldier wielding a sword. Harry picks up the metal soldier and places it in the palm of his hand. He studies it, his face solemn, then puts it back. He opens the front door.
Hello, Harry.
Hagrid, Ron and Hermione.
Hello.
You're looking fit.
Yeah, he's absolutely gorgeous. Let's say we get undercover before someone murders him.
Mad-Eye Moody, Mr. Weasley and Kingsley Shacklebolt follow them inside.
Kingsley, I thought you were looking after the Prime Minister.
You are more important.
Hello, Harry. Bill Weasley.
Oh, pleasure to meet you.
He's never always this handsome.
Harry.
Dead ugly. True enough. I were also a werewolf, name of Greyback. I'll repay the favour one day.
Well, you're still beautiful to me, William.
Just remember, Fleur, Bill takes his stakes on the raw side now.
My husband, the Joker. By the way, wait till you hear the news. Remus and
all right, all right. We'll have time for a cozy catch-up later. We've got to get the hell out of here.